Let's turn with me, if you would, to Song of Solomon. You remember we started Song of Solomon in our last study, and out of 1,005 that Solomon had written, God has seen fit to select one in particular to put in Scripture and for us to have. And so it's written kind of in acts, so to speak, like in Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, you know, that kind of thing. It's written in that kind of a format. You've got the daughters of Jerusalem, and these are really kind of meddlers, maybe, in a sense. They're kind of the ones that kind of come along and, you know, always adding their 2 cents, whether you wanted their 2 cents, and sometimes they're adding their $5, and you don't want that either. But they come along, and they share their little bits and tidbits of information and their thoughts about things, but a lot of times the counsel that comes back at them I find to be very interesting, the things that are shared back with them. Then we know that you can look at this a few different ways, the Song of Solomon. We know that we're looking at it from the Solomon being the shepherd king, a type of Jesus Christ. And so we're kind of viewing it from that perspective. There's no doubt this can be looked at as a marriage manual or a book on marriage. And there's no doubt, and about intimacy within marriage, there's no doubt that there's all kinds of truths in there with that too. But it really seems to favor the shepherd king and the bride, us being the bride, the people of God, God's church. And so it's kind of exciting as you go through it and look at it in this light and you find out some of these things. You remember the shepherd king was calling out to the bride saying, hey, you know, come on out. And he was going to go just kind of exploring and leaping around on mountaintops, you know, that kind of thing. Remember, that was kind of the description that was given there as we kind of concluded. And she just kind of said, as often the bride would do, kind of just roll over and stick their head in the pillow, just like all of us as the bride of Christ do sometimes when the Lord's calling us out to have fellowship, to interact, to be involved in some things, you know, just to go explore and do these things with the Lord. I really started thinking about it in this light and how it's really an awesome adventure that we're on as Christians. It's this awesome daily adventure. And you never know exactly what's in store or what's going to happen next, but the Lord kind of calls us out to take this trip with Him, this adventure with Him, each and every day, to have fellowship with Him, to walk with Him, and to just enjoy what He wants to do in and through our lives in that day and experience that. And it's fresh, each and every day. It's a fresh, new experience with the Lord. Well, we kind of left it off as the bride kind of rolled over and just said, yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of go back to sleep and you have a great time. And it's kind of, that was kind of the thought and the mindset at the latter part of chapter 2. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, by night on my bed, I sought the one I love, the bride speaking. I sought him, but I did not find him. And again, as we saw the shepherd king wanting to draw the bride out for fellowship and then exploring new wonderful experiences with him. And then it was just kind of cut short because just kind of rolled over and went back to sleep. How many times I think the Lord might be wanting to minister something to you or to me, and how often and how easy it is to kind of roll back over and just kind of doze off, you know, and not have that intimacy, that time with the Lord as the Lord's wanting to speak to our hearts. You know, and I found that this can happen at any time. It can happen during the course of a day. You know, if you think about sometimes our lunch hours, the things that we could enjoy and devotionally in our lunch hours if the Lord was calling us to just fellowship with Him. And I think those are wonderful times. I see that a lot of different times, you know, just people spending time hooking up with the Lord. And it's very encouraging to me when I see that. You know, a lot of times if I have time and I'm up early and I'm out, if I'm by myself, I'll go get breakfast and I'll sit there just with my Bible and just hang out with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, it doesn't matter where we are. It's just more of the position of our heart. You know, the idea here is it's easy to kind of just turn away and miss the opportunities with the Lord. And, you know, we look at it like this and we say, oh, man, I've missed so many opportunities like that with God. And, you know, sometimes we can go, the enemy would want to condemn us with that. And we need to kind of shift our thinking away from that because that's not the heart of the Lord. The heart of the Lord is for you and I to experience the goodness of what he has in the fellowship. He wants us to enjoy the exploring of new experiences with him each and every day. That's what he longs for. He longs for that kind of intimacy with us. But it's not a condemning thing. It's just kind of for us, the reality and the sobriety in looking at it and saying, wow, you know, I really missed that opportunity with the Lord. I was thinking about a couple of different things. And I tried to think of illustrations as best I could that different people would identify with, but maybe you can think of different things for yourself that you might identify with better. You know, there's seasons, let's say. There's seasons, there's four seasons. If you really like to snow ski or you like snowboarding, there's a season for that. And, you know, if you miss the season, you miss the season. They only make snow so long. It only snows so often. You miss the season. You miss the opportunity. I'm thinking about when I go out and I go surfing and I'm sitting out in the ocean, I'm bobbing around out there and waiting for waves, waiting for waves, waiting for waves. Then a wave comes up, you know, I've got to seize the opportunity. I got to, you know, I got to stop sitting. I've got to lay down. I got to start paddling, which becomes very strenuous now, and trying to get my body going with the board, you know. And, you know, it's an opportunity. If I don't take that opportunity, I'll miss it. Now, does that mean there's not going to be another wave? Well, they come in sets. It takes time. It may take a while. So I think so like with our relationship with the Lord. If we're hiking and we stop short in an area, we get tired and we stop short of the trail that we're hiking on, and we stop short of, we wanted to get up to the mountaintop, but we just kind of got tired and stopped short of what we really wanted to do. And it's kind of like that. The Lord's calling us up. Keep walking. Keep moving forward. Keep growing. And keep being challenged. And the Lord does that through the relationship that we have with him. And I think as we see here, you know, she sought, and the bride, you know, had, remember, had just rolled over and went back to sleep. And by night, I'm on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought for him, but I did not find him. You know, and then it goes into this question of, where are you, Lord? You know, where are you, Lord? You know, he's there. He's come to us, maybe stirred, and we've just missed an opportunity. And then it goes on and says, I will rise now, I said, and go about the city. In the streets, in the squares, I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. And so off he goes, you know, off she goes. The bride's looking now, seeking for him. Now, we could look at this and say, gosh, you know, she probably, Shepherd King might have already heard that she was looking for him, or who knows exactly, but you could think, well, is he off playing hard to get? Is a shepherd king trying to play hard to get? Does the Lord do that with us? I don't think that's the case. I think it's that idea, especially with the Lord, that oftentimes he wants us to appreciate the relationship that we have with him and to enjoy and appreciate that. And a lot of times, you know, if it's only one-sided, you know, are any of our relationships like that just one-sided? That's not the design. You know, it's that interaction with the Lord. Have you found that your prayer life is vastly enhanced when you speak and talk to the Lord, and then you stop and you listen for the voice of the Lord? Maybe you read a little bit. Maybe you listen for his voice, and then you talk again. Because communication is both two-sided, you see. He's wanting to speak to us. We're wanting to speak to him. And we need to, in order for that communication to be complete, we need to be listening and then speaking, and then listening and then speaking. And so I don't think the Lord or the Shepherd King here is necessarily playing hard to get. I think for us in this kind of application, I think the Lord would just want us to appreciate, you know, and seek out that relationship. But you know, when the opportunities come up, I think it's important for us to seize those opportunities. When the Lord stirs your heart, you know, I think about that time, and I shared with you a while back, that time that fella stopped while my nephew was sitting outside at a patio table, you know, waiting to go in. He was going to get started at work. And I think of that guy listening. He walked right past my, said hello to him, walked right past my nephew, was heading for his car. And he turned around and came back and looked at him and said, hey, do you mind if I just sit down and talk to you for a minute? And he goes, no, sit down, you know. And so he says, listen, I really, you know, believe that the Lord really wanted me to talk to you about some stuff and just share some things with you. And he just shared the love of God with him. And my nephew's known the Lord. He's just distanced from him. But I think of the opportunity and how the opportunity, see, I'm seeing both sides of the opportunity. I'm seeing what a great opportunity it was for my nephew to hear, you know, that. You know, and then also what an awesome opportunity, because my nephew was fairly receptive to what he was sharing with him, you know, and he didn't think the guy was weird or anything like that. And I think, you know, that opportunity, God gave him an opportunity. The guy that was walking by ministered to his heart. He could have just kept walking. But the opportunity that was taken, the watchman in verse 3, who go about the city, found me. And I said, have you seen the one I love? So she's looking to the watchman, trying to get information. If anybody's the bride's looking again for the shepherd king, wanting to say, have you seen him? The watchman, we know in Scripture, is that person, kind of a leadership role person, stands out on the walls of the city and keeps eye out over the city, watches for people coming from a distance. You know, if there's any type of alarming situation, they sound things off and give off the warning. You know, day and night, they're alerted to what's going on around them, and they keep watch. They have rotational watches. Some of you who have been in military know exactly what this kind of thing is. And so she's, the bride's looking, trying to find the shepherd king and asking. And, you know, interesting, the watchman isn't really sure. And I think of us sometimes and are trying to interact or trying to get answers sometimes from people instead of really seeking it out through the relationship with the Lord. How important that is for us to look and to interact, to take the time to be alone with the Lord and to get fellowship. There's nothing wrong with interaction with other brothers and sisters, but we need to remember there's nothing that replaces that interaction that we can have with Jesus alone and His Word. That really is what's going to minister to us and feed our souls. When we talk with people, it's so important that we give people God's Word, not our ideas or our opinions, but God's Word, because God's Word is what's going to change their life. That's what's going to help them. That's what's going to minister to them. We know that if we seek out the Lord will be there. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that. Seek the Lord. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you're going to find Him. And so there's that guarantee. You know, that if you're going to seek the Lord, I've shared with people in different traveling situations and talked with them and kind of tried to encourage them that, hey, listen, you know, if you're really looking for truth, you're going to end up right where I'm at. You're going to end up with Jesus Christ, I guarantee, if you're really looking for truth. And I really believe, do you believe that? Because see, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. And so people that are wanting truth are going to end up with Jesus Christ. You know, those who are lost on other ideas or other things are trapped in their own minds and their own thoughts. They might find other ideas, but they aren't going to find the truth. The truth is always found with Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus called out to the disciples and encouraged them. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and where he said, hey, listen, watch and pray with me. Come out, watch and hang out with me. He was going through the most intense time of his time on the earth, of knowing what was going to happen to him and the spiritual battle that was going on. And some of you might remember it from watching, reading it and then watching on the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and remember in the garden and the battle that was going on, the demonic forces that were there battling. And then, you know, the disciples just, you know, it was just hard to stay with it, you know. And so much like us too, isn't it, oftentimes. But the significance and the benefits of us staying with it and with the Lord. I was also thinking in Mark's gospel how the first chapter, and it talks about in verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was there with wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, and the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, and he cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, you can go on and read the rest of the chapter later yourself. But as you go through this, you read through this, and you think, well, what's the point in all this? Notice how many times, verse 10, immediately. Verse 12, immediately. Verse 18, immediately. Verse 20, immediately. Verse 21, immediately. Verse 28, immediately. And verse 31, immediately. All this keeps coming up. Immediately. There is a sense of urgency with the Lord, a sense of moving forward with determination. So this word immediately comes out, and just it's just so piercing to me when I look at these things of when the Spirit is drawing us out and when the Lord's calling to us to have fellowship and intimacy with him. And it's not a yesterday, you know, oh, well, maybe tomorrow, and we just start putting things off. No, there's a sense of urgency that we are to respond and be immediate in our response. You see, I look at the disciples when they were called to follow him. They didn't give a bunch of excuses, you see, of, well, you know, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to go fishing one more day. No, they sensed this, and they followed him immediately. They didn't waste time. And I think it's so important for us as we look at the Gospels, you can see how quickly things happened with the Lord. You know, the amount of ground in a sense, you know, that he covered in such a short period of time, you know, because he was clear in his thinking, he was determined, and he operated quickly and timely. You know, I think sometimes this putting things off, I think, again, this idea that we can't always go back and regain that opportunity. Opportunities are there in our walk with Jesus Christ. And you may look back, and I may look back and say, oh man, I can see things in my mind's eye, opportunities that just kind of slipped through my fingers, through your fingers. You might know things in your heart and your mind. And you know what? It's okay. Because let's read on and find out what the shepherd's response. Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. This idea again here of immediately taking the opportunity when once got connected back up, it was like instantaneous. Let's go and let's be alone and let's have fellowship. You see this desire to be with the Shepherd King. And I think it's so awesome. I think that's really God's desire for our heart to be like that. Man, when we spend time that we're anticipant of getting into the Word and hearing what God's going to speak to our hearts. It's like as we gather together here, whether it be on a Wednesday evening or a Sunday morning or whenever different times of fellowship that are provided, that there's an anticipation of gathering together and hearing from the Lord. What is the Lord going to speak to our hearts today? What does the Lord have for us? When we open our Bibles in our devotional time, what does the Lord have for me today? What does the Lord want to speak to my heart? And I think that anticipation, and again, this idea of immediately, once she, the bride located the Shepherd King, she seeks to be alone with him. You know, doesn't wait for, again, this idea of just waiting for church service or waiting for other times, but God's wanting to bless. And again, opening our Bible during our lunch hour, or open our Bible in the evenings at times and in the mornings, and as the Lord leads, just being open to communicate and to have fellowship and commune with the Lord. I think that's really his heart. That's God's heart. And so we kind of see that as we go through this. Again, not postponing things and putting things off. Again, I challenge you to go back and read through that and think through that urgency that's there in chapter 1 of Mark's gospel. You know, that urgency that's there. It was always, man, it was right happening right then. Not to lose sight of it. Verse 5, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Again, you know, these gals, the daughters of Jerusalem, again, kind of represent this a little bit of a meddlers. You know, they kind of meddle in on things and kind of add things in and think about things and share their parts as we go through this. We see them showing up like that. But really, the basic charge here that the shepherd king is making is it's let her rest. Let the bride rest. She's resting with me. Let her rest. And I think that's important for us to embrace that concept too in our relationship with the Lord, to rest in him. You know, he is our Sabbath. The Bible describes Jesus is our Sabbath. We don't have to be all weird and respecters of days and all that stuff. That God didn't call us to that because he is our place of rest. He is completed in the fullness of all the law. Everything's completed in him. He is our place of rest. And, you know, the desire for us to rest in the Lord, that's his desire for us to do that, to just sit back in him, you know, and enjoy the fellowship that we have with him. And I guess the encouragement to us is that it's important for us to seek him out, to find him, to have fellowship with him, and rest in him. Enjoy the fellowship that we have with him. In verse 6, scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into... verse 6. That was verse 4 again. Sorry about that. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchants' fragrant powders? Who is this coming out? Who is this bride that's coming out of the wilderness? As they had departed from Egypt and were brought out of Egypt, and they were led out, and they had this victorious crossing over the Red Sea, you recall, and watched God move powerfully. And now they go out into this wilderness wandering. And but it should have been, again, just an 11-day journey, you know, and yet it took 40 years, because when they hit the promised land, what happened? Unbelief set in. They didn't fully trust the Lord, and so they went back into this wilderness wanderings. And who is this that's being brought up out of sin and unbelief? It's us, the bride of Christ, riding in the covering, really, of... the shelter of the Shepherd King's kind of like, you know, they had those little cart, you know, they handheld carts, you know, where they carried them around in the thing, and they had this kind of like a chamber inside there that they sat in. And so this is that describes that type of thing. That, and I think too that as we get brought out with the Lord, he brings out this wonderful, pleasant fragrance of his presence in our lives. You know, as it's described here, the fragrance is there. And that's our relationship with the Lord brings out that good fragrance. You know, it's easy for the daughters of Jerusalem, just to back up just a moment, and for us to do this to others too, to kind of be maybe condemning or, and that's why I shared with what I shared about the missed opportunities. I guarantee you, all of us have them. I got plenty of them, missed opportunities. And you've got them. We've got them. But you know, we don't have to wallow in any of that. We can't retrieve any of that, but what we can do is mark it, you know, and say, man, I don't want to miss that opportunity as it comes up again in my life. I don't want to miss that. You know, I feel like this, you know, about raising a family. I have only so much time to sow certain things into my kids' lives. You know, and now we're heading into this point where all our kids are adults, you know, so things have changed. I only had so much time to sow these things into their lives. And I want to sow those good things, the love of the Lord, you know, that ongoing, unconditional love that's there from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show good leadership, guidance as a father. I want to give that kind of instruction. Those are opportunities. And I remember thinking so often, even when the kids were small, thinking, man, I'm not going to be able to revisit this. You know, I've got to do this right. God, help me, please. You know, help me, Lord, because I have an opportunity to do this right. To at least, now, you know, they're at the age where their lives are their choices, you know, and what they choose and how they choose to live. And it's their choice. But I also know that, man, the foundation is laid there. And they know what, you know, God's, the hounds of heaven will just hunt them down. So it's great. I know that for sure. So that, again, that deliverance, though, out of the wilderness, being carried out of the wilderness. And that's so exciting that the Lord's done that for us. Behold, it is Solomon's couch with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear of the night. You know, you can really see the protection. You know, we have the Holy Spirit that protects us, and the ministering spirits, the angels that are ministering spirits that protect us also. And, you know, it's really neat how the Lord's protection is there as he's carrying us through, just taking care of us, watching out over us. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself, you pronounce that one. He made it pillars of silver, its supports of gold, seat of purple, and the interior paved with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Jerusalem, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of the wedding and the day of the gladness of his heart. Again, the bride being escorted, all the forces there, protection being escorted out. And then the bride says, look at the king. Look at the one I love. Look at the king. And I really feel strongly about this, fairly passionately about this. This idea of making sure that people see the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. That, you know, especially as we're beginning to grow and follow the Lord more intimately, and we're developing in our walk with Jesus Christ. You know, let's say you're developing that close koinonia with the Lord, and then all of a sudden things start falling more in order. Maybe you've come out of the world or maybe you've come through some big hurdle just recently in your walk with Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been really challenged and now the Lord's moving. And so there's this challenge and this tendency for us to kind of fall back on us being us, who we were prior to us walking close with the Lord. And, you know, you might look back, you might say, well, there was a time where I was walking closer with the Lord. Be careful, that ought not to be so for us as Christians. We all ought to be walking closely with the Lord. We ought to be growing. And we should not be able to look back and find those times that we were closer than we are now, because that would be backwards, wouldn't it? You know, we want to be moving forwards. And so I want to be honest with myself and take an honest assessment of that, because it's so easy to fall back and say, as God's starting to bless and care for your life and patch up the things, you know, the years that the cankerworm tried to eat away, God starts to restore those things. And the years that you sowed to the flesh, you know, and you reap the harvest of the flesh and the corruption thereof, and then you give your life to the Lord and you start sowing the seeds of the Lord, it's easy to be like the nation Israel and grow comfortable. You remember throughout the Old Testament, the nation Israel was warned, when you get to the promised land, remember that it was the Lord your God that protected you and got you there. That it was the Lord your God that brought deliverance and provision and cared for you. Remember, it was the Lord your God. And it's so important, because it's so easy, isn't it, for us to just forget. We get into this place, we get comfortable, and then we start thinking we had more to do with our lives and how our lives are going and the blessings of our lives than we really do. It's all about the Lord. And so I love this, as the bride says, man, look at the King. Man, look at how awesome the King is. And I really see that as our role as Christians. That's where we need to be, is pointing people and saying, you know, it wasn't, you have victories, I have victories in the Lord, that God's wrought victory in our lives in areas of struggle and temptation. God's brought victory. And we should be able to say, yes, praise the Lord, He's brought this great victory in my life. But we should never be able to say when someone's, because people will start to tell you, wow, you know, I'm so impressed with how you've handled that. Boom. All of a sudden, we start thinking we had something to do with how that got handled. You know, when, as a changed life, a new person in Jesus Christ, the old person would have dealt with it differently. The person that was not walking with God would have dealt with it this way. But the new person dealt with it like this, because of the Spirit of God and the power of His Holy Spirit over the flesh, dealt with it this way. We got to give credit to that. Look at the King. You see what I'm saying? Look at the King. Tell people that. You know, I think of times of different types of substance things or different things. And people, I know a guy many years ago that... had come up at a men's gathering, and you know, we had this men's conference, and he'd come up and he'd come forward, and he'd just been struggling so long, you know, with, and he'd been a believer for a while, you know, he'd been born again and been walking with the Lord for a couple years, and but he was just so struggling with, because he'd smoked cigarettes so long, he's still struggling with the cigs, you know, and he just came up and he just goes, man, I just want to do away with this, you know, and so we just laid hands on him, we prayed for him, and man, the Lord just, it just took it out of his life. I mean, no more craving, no more nothing. He just went up by faith, believed by faith, and God just took it out of his life. And I guarantee you, if you talk to this guy today, he'd tell you the same thing that he said that night. This is so awesome. The Lord did this. I've tried to stop, and I couldn't stop, but the Lord took it out of my life. And he'll tell you, he's kind of a soft-spoken guy, and he'd tell you, you know, it was just the wildest thing. I just knew I had to go forward, and I stepped out of my seat by faith, and the Lord met me there. And he'd just tell you, so soft-spoken, just say, man, but he points to the King. He said, man, look at the King. Look at the Lord. And I think that's so important for us as Christians. If you've been radically blessed, look, point people to the King, would you? Tell them it's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going through a hardship, tell them it's Jesus Christ, the King, that's going to get you through the hardship. Be honest. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be our friends that get us through the trouble. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ that sustains us. And so I think when we kind of look at this and we see this, as the bride just points to the King and just says, man, look how awesome he is. Look how beautiful he is. Look at his crown. Look at his glory. Look at his majesty. You know, point people to the Lord. Very easy for us to become comfortable, just as we read in the Old Testament with the nation Israel. Get into the promised land, the place of blessing, the place of provision. God starts ministering. God starts taking care of things. And it's easy to start drifting away from the Lord and not seeing it, and starting to hear the press when someone says to you, oh, wow, that's just so awesome. You did really good with this, or you did really... No, it wasn't me. Be honest. tell the truth, who it was. It was the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I think it's so important. And so we look through this chapter and just kind of contemplate the things. Spend time. You know, when the Lord calls you out to spend time with him, go immediately. And when you miss the opportunity, don't be guilt-ridden. Just seek the Lord. See, that's what she did. The bride went back out and sought the Lord. Not bombarded with guilt. Oh, I'll never find me. There was the question of, Lord, where are you? That's an honest question. Lord, where are you? You know, looking for the Lord. We ask the Lord that sometimes. I've been in a situation where I've scratched my head for months at a time. My goodness, Lord, how can you be in the midst of this? I can't find you in this anywhere. You know, it's just such a mess. But the Lord's there. The Lord's there. So we look for the Lord. We seek him. We go out and have fellowship with him. When we hook back up with him, spend time. It doesn't matter what time it is. Get alone with him. When you sense his prompting, get alone with him. And then as we see, as the Lord does a work, a fresh work in your life, the significance and the importance of pointing to him.